Hello, this is Dave Spiker, reminding you that tonight, June 30th at midnight, Insight for Living will close the books on another ministry year. To give a much-needed donation before the deadline, go to insight.org. Today, Chuck Swindoll talks about living right in a wrong world.
About half of our country believe in extrasensory perception. More than a third believe in mental telepathy. A quarter believe in reincarnation. People are starving spiritually, yet what they're picking up to eat is the spiritual equivalent of a Twinkie. They're filling up on spiritual junk food when what they really need is the plain, nourishing bread of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Spiritual deception perpetrated by false teachers is a real and present danger. So how do we differentiate the fake from the real? How do we taste the difference between junk food and a nutritional meal? We live in times when most people are starving for an authentic relationship with God, but few people truly understand how to feast at the banquet table of the truth. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll concludes a discerning message about dealing with deceivers. It's based on our study in 1 John and a series called Living Right in a Wrong World.
When you talk to someone about Christ and they say, well, I go to such and such a church, it tells you nothing about their faith in Christ. When you talk to individuals about their faith and they refer to how long they have been in that church or what their grandfather did or their dad is a preacher, it tells you nothing about their relationship to Christ. A person individually must know Christ personally. And these people do not. They never have. They never truly trusted in Christ. Fourth thing we would say is that they prey on the unsuspecting. They prey on the unsuspecting. They went out from us, but they were not a part of us. Had they been a part of us, they would have remained with us, but they are not. They have not done so. All are not of us. What do I mean by unsuspecting? I mean those who lack biblical knowledge. Now, how about genuine believers? See the but in verse 20? But, unlike the heretics, unlike the people who haven't embraced Orthodox faith, but you have an anointing from the Holy One. You have the Spirit of God. Now, why does he mention this? Because the Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. John 16:13, the Spirit of truth will come and he will guide you into all truth. So the second thing we would say about genuine believers, you have the capacity to know the truth. Back to verse 20 and verse 21. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. Genuine believers are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and they understand the truth. The third thing I would add, according to verse 21, is you're enabled with discernment. You're given discernment. I've not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Haven't you found yourself at times listening to someone, or maybe if it's on television, watching the person and thinking, how could anybody believe that? And you look out and the place is packed, just packed with people. You think, where are they coming from? Don't they realize? Now, let me show you the raw reality, the nature and the results of heresy. Let me explain here from the scriptures, verses 22 and 23, the nature and the results of heresy. 22, who is the liar? Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? That is the Antichrist. 1 John 4, verse 3, that is the spirit of Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. John tells it straight. The one who is in error denies that Jesus is the true Messiah, the Son of God come in flesh. Specifically, it's a denial of the deity and the incarnation of Christ. A denial of the deity and incarnation of Christ. What do I mean by incarnation? When God became man. Jesus was God. God with flesh. God in human form. Well, what do the deceivers say about Jesus? Well, they say things like he was a good man. Some would even say a prophet. Invested for a period of time, albeit temporarily, as a member of the Godhead. And he had powers, yes, and yet they will deny that he is the eternal Son, that he is one and the same with the one who came as the one who had been before. Jesus has always been deity. Deity before he became the baby in the manger. Deity while a baby and a young man and finally crucified. Deity when he is ascended, still deity. Co-equal, co-eternal, coexistent with the Father. That's the truth. And when it boils down to truth, it comes down to the person of Christ. Satan would encourage you not to believe such nonsense. How could God be man and not be corrupted with the same nature as man? The secret is the virgin birth. That's why those doctrines are important. God handled that beautifully by preserving the coming of his Son from any sin with the virgin birth of the perfect Lamb of God without spot and without blemish. Not only is the message of the deceiver defective, it is diabolical. Verse 23 goes on, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father. Now, verse 23 says they deny the Son, and therefore denying the Son his rightful role, there would be the denial of any relationship with the Father. May I urge you not to be too diplomatic? May I urge you against political correctness when it comes to the person of Jesus? Don't get sucked into the culture. Stay specific. John Stott put it like this. Christian theology is anchored not only to certain historical events culminating in the saving career of Jesus, but to the authoritative apostolic witness to these events. In other words, not just the life of Jesus, but the recording of the apostles. Jesus lived the life, and the life that he lived qualified him for the death that he died. The death that he died qualifies us for the life that he lived, and we learn of it in the letters of the New Testament and the other gospels as well. So it is anchored in the apostolic witness of these events. He continues, the Christian can never weigh anchor and launch out into the deep of speculative thought. Nor can we forsake the primitive teaching of the apostles for the subsequent traditions of men. Amen. Stott is exactly right. And that's what he's teaching. That's what John is teaching here. Now notice the turn comes at verse 24. As for you, and then again verse 27. As for you, see the connectives? As for you, this is for the believers reading John's letter. As for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. Now he's providing us with safeguards. How can I be guarded against the message of the adversary? How can I keep from being deceived? Number one, stay with the truth of Holy Scripture. As he puts it, that which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will abide in the Son and you will abide with the Father. Stay there. Abide in it. Don't be lured from it. I had a medical doctor stop me after the first morning service today and tell me that he had a patient that was facing some pretty severe future. And he said to her very carefully and tactfully, may I pray with you? She said, yes, just so it isn't in the name of Christ. So I said, what'd you do? He said, well, I wished her well and I didn't pray, because I pray through Christ, to God. He cares about her, but not to the point of leading her astray. Oh, sure, that's fine. Don't want to dare mention a name that would be offensive. Sorry. No, I'm not sorry. Speak of Christ personally and directly. If he abides in you, the word abides in you, you will abide in the Son and in the Father. Stay with the truth of Holy Scripture. Not everyone does. Popular author and television personality Wayne W. Dyer wants you to believe another message. I quote from his lecture. He tells us that glowing celestial light is within you, and you are to let, and you are to know the wonder of having your sacred self triumph over the demands of the ego self, which wants more than anything to hold you back. Wait a minute. Where's Christ in that? Erwin Lutzer, pastor of Moody Church, says contemporary spirituality defines God as an equal opportunity employer, the universal source of energy waiting to be tapped by all of us. What we believe is not important. The challenge is to understand ourselves in light of this higher power already within us. If we need forgiveness, we must simply grant it to ourselves. We have broken the commands of no personal God, since there is no God to offend. There is no God whose forgiveness we must seek. The craze of self-satisfaction by self-knowledge is all around us. Watch out for it. Don't be sucked in by that. So he says the safeguard is the word of God, and second, to rely on what the Holy Spirit teaches you. This is the promise that he himself made to us, eternal life. I mean, you have him, you have life. Hold your place and look at 1 John 5, 11 and 12. 1 John 5, probably the clearest verses on the gospel in the New Testament. The testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life. This life is in his Son. Watch closely. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. You say, man, that is narrow. Right. When I go to the airport and ask the gal, when the flight leaves, she says, well, how do you feel about it? No. When does the flight leave? Oh, you know, if you'd like it to leave at 12:15, maybe around then, or 1:30, or, well, you probably have to have lunch. So how about 2 o'clock? I go, what? Tell me the time the flight. When you go up to them, they say it leaves at 1:27 p.m. What if I'm not there? Get the next flight, Buster. You missed the flight. Well, that's pretty narrow. Good night. What kind of airline is this? Why is it narrow? It's right. Or you missed the flight. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, writes Solomon the wise. This is the promise, back to 1 John 2, verse 25. He himself made eternal life. By the way, no one else can offer that. No one else. These things I've written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. As for you, he says again, the anointing which you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you, but his anointing teaches you about all things and is true, is not a lie, just as it has taught, he has taught you, you abide in him. How great is that? Rely on what the Spirit of God teaches you. And when it says you have no need that anyone teach you, it isn't decrying the importance of human teachers. It's just saying you have the capacity to grasp it, whatever it is. You have the capacity. You won't get a lot of help from the culture around you. I think one of Charles Colson's best book is A Dance with Deception, though it's not that well known by the general public, unfortunately. In A Dance with Deception, he writes, about half of our country believe in extrasensory perception. More than a third believe in mental telepathy. A quarter of all Americans believe in astrology. A quarter believe in reincarnation. Vast numbers of Americans accept certain New Age beliefs and practices, and a fifth of our country say they have been in touch with the dead. What a testimony, he writes, to the sorry state of America's spiritual condition. People are starving spiritually, yet what they're picking up to eat is the spiritual equivalent of a Twinkie. They're filling up on spiritual junk food when what they really need is the plain, nourishing bread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So how do I walk in triumph since I'm surrounded by a world that's lost its way? Three simple statements I leave with you. First, renew your commitment to the Word of God. Renew your commitment to the Word of God. Don't let the sun set on any day without spending some time on your own reading the Scriptures. Renew that commitment to the Word. Think of it as filling your tank with gas so that you're able to run your course without running out or running dry. Renew your commitment to the Word of God. It'll give you direction for decisions you must make. You'll find hope in its promises and stories. It'll become more eloquent to you than anything else you hear or read. Renew your commitment to the Scriptures. Second, stand firm in your convictions. Stand firm in your convictions. And believe me, you will stand out in most groups if you have convictions. Be ready to give an answer, and don't be shy about it. Be gracious, but don't be shy. Speak your mind. Tell the truth. Stand up and be heard. Third, stay focused on Christ. Think of it as a laser beam. Let your mind, like a laser, dwell on Christ. Make Christ your specialty. Examine his life. Emulate his methods. Rest in him. Think about him daily. Ask yourself, what would my Savior do if he were right here in this circumstance? Specialty, Christ. This past week, Cynthia and I had a reason to visit with a physician regarding a thyroid, a little difficulty she was facing, and we were concerned about this nodule. And so she checked out all the possibilities, and she found an individual who not only is an endocrinologist, but he specializes in the thyroid. His whole practice is a thyroid. Right here. So when I met him, he came in and we were there. He's getting ready to do the procedure. And I said, you work with the thyroid. He says, I do. I said, like, what else do you do? Nothing. You like teach on the thyroid? I teach on the thyroid. Really? You do research? I do. On the thyroid. Like, how about other? No. I said, do you do surgery? No. No surgery. I do thyroid. Then he looked at me and says, kind of weird, isn't it? And I said, matter of fact, no. I love it. I wish you majored in nodules on thyroids that are like this. In fact, he does. Like looking through a toilet paper roll. There's just nodules, thyroid. She's great. He called us after the exam and said, everything's great, no problem. You know what? I don't even question it. Why? Because he does thyroids. He's not messing around with working on cars on the weekend or raising roses. He's not doing psychology on the side. Thyroid. Thyroid. Why do I like that? Because she's got a problem with the thyroid. And I want to know how that thyroid is. Great. Great. I didn't even question it. I didn't say, are you sure? Are you kidding? I do thyroids. You do Christ. You do Christ. That's your specialty. He's our master. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. There's none other. There's no other way to know God. apart from Christ. Isn't that great? Makes it so simple. So what does the culture do around us? They offer 45 different opportunities aside from Christ, all of which are wrong. Because they don't know anything about Christ. Let's bow our heads together. This is no time to dance with deception. This is no time to feel good. This is a time to think straight. There's salvation in no other. Only the name of Jesus can give you eternal life. Yep. Broad is the gate that leads to destruction. Narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life. Christ. Christ alone. If you've never trusted him as your own Savior, what a perfect opportunity. You can join us in this specialty. We'd love to have you a part of the ranks. But I can't promise you everything is going to turn out fabulous. I can't assure you that you're going to have every prayer answered yes. But I will tell you, you will have a God who will never leave you, never abandon you, never deceive you. There's a voice you can trust. These things I've written that you might have eternal life. If you've come to Christ today, we'd love to hear from you. That's why we're in existence. Connect with us. You say, I've just come to Christ and I need to know what to do now. We'll take you from there. Thank you, Father, for your Son. We love him. We serve him. We believe in him. We stand alongside him. We rest our eternity in him whom we adore. It's even in his name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Everybody said, amen.
As Chuck Swindoll mentioned, if you've come to Christ today, we'd love to hear from you. You can connect with us here at Insight for Living by calling us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888 or by going to insightworld.org. We take delight when God uses this ministry to bring someone into his family. Not long ago, someone left a message that said, Chuck, as a teenager, I gave my life to Christ while listening to your message. I was driving home from my job. I pulled my car over to the side of the road and prayed along with you. You have been a trusted friend in my walk with Jesus. Well, it's for this very reason Insight for Living exists. Even when the message feels countercultural, even when the truth of God's Word feels politically incorrect, we're committed to presenting the unfiltered teaching of the Bible so men and women can cultivate an authentic relationship with their Creator. As one who financially gives to this nonprofit ministry, you're playing a significant role in making these spiritual moments occur. Chuck often reminds us that we couldn't possibly accomplish our mission without you. Insight for Living Ministries represents a true partnership, and we're doing this together. Chuck?
Thank you, Dave. How can it be that Cynthia and I have been isolated for several weeks on end, but have never felt a more intimate relationship with our listening family? It's really true. Most mornings, long before the sun rises, Cynthia and I sit in our family room or on our back porch, just quietly talking together, and our fondness toward listeners like you is often the subject. How odd that God would use these isolated moments, hunkered down in our respective caves, to draw us together with a stronger sense of unity than we've ever known before. We are truly in this pandemic together. Maybe his isolation in a cave inspired David to say of his Lord, "For you, God, are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs of victory. As we shelter in place, let's remember we are not alone. First, our faithful Lord is never absent from any of us. Let's hide our souls in Him. Second, though the miles may separate you and me, we are never apart. And third, of this be absolutely certain, Insight for Living is right here for you, just as you were there for us. We have a critical deadline coming on June the 30th. It's the day we close our financial books on another year of ministry. And let me assure you, this isn't an arbitrary date. Next year's ministry hangs in the balance as we wait on God's people to financially supply what we need in order to continue. I know many people are struggling financially right now. Insight for Living Ministries is also struggling in a serious way as well. Please, as you are able, send a generous donation and do that today. Your gift is urgently needed to touch men and women who are isolated in God's hiding place. They desperately need to hear the life-giving songs of victory. You can be the one to help make that possible. Can I count on you to respond today? I believe I can.
And let me give you several different ways to respond to Chuck Swindoll. Some find it easy to simply pick up the phone and give us a call. If you're listening in the United States, our number is 1-800-772-8888. To be clear, Insight for Living will close the books on another ministry year at midnight tonight. So please, call right now. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. You can also use our convenient mobile app to give by clicking on the heart button. And then to give a donation online, visit insight.org. Join us again tomorrow when Chuck Swindoll describes our Lord's return on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Dealing with Deceivers, and the sound recording were copyrighted in 2009 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.